Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vex on Vex podcast. Today, we are recording episode number 146. Our guest is Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Vex.
Today, 60 years ago, Jennifer, the Rolling Stones played their first fucking show.
How awesome.
I hate the Rolling Stones.
Oh, come on. They're great.
That's it? Come on, they're great?
They are. They're on my bucket list. I really want to go see them.
They're all dead.
That's okay.
So when they played 60 years ago, two of them are fucking corpses, fact, and one of them retired 32 years ago because he's like, this fucking sucks, I'm fucking leaving. And 32 years later, like, he's still fucking playing, as Stones. God, I hate the Stones.
Aw, come on. I can't even argue with you about it.
Do you know why I hate the Stones?
Why do you hate the Stones?
I'm so glad that you asked.
I bet you are.
Can't you hear me knocking? All right, first off, there's a good 10 Rolling Stone songs that I fucking love that no one in the band wrote. Can't You Hear Me Knockin' was written by Mick Taylor, who's the replacement of Brian Jones, who died in the pool.
Okay.
All those good 70s classic Rolling Stones fucking tunes that are just to fucking die for, that guy wrote. And he's not in the band at all. He's the guy who was in the band, and he's like, I like heroin a lot, and then he's fucking quit. And then when he quit, they replaced him with Ronnie Wood, who's the most likable human being on the planet. He's probably my favorite person in the current Rolling Stones because he's Ronnie fucking Wood. He can't write songs.
You just said an awful lot of things about what you do like, though.
Well, I don't like to do... Oh, there you go.
You said an awful lot of things about what you like.
Do you want the 58 that I hate?
Just give me, like, 3.
The only reason the Rolling Stones are actually popular is because the Beatles broke up. You know that, right?
I do.
That's a fact.
Okay.
They... Remember when Limp Bizkit was like, woo, Limp Bizkit. Remember that?
What you going to
do? Of course you do. Of course you do. I have affinity for Limp Bizkit as well. But if you tell your son Limp Bizkit, he'll think you're a fucking nerd.
Yes.
Facts of life. Because it's Limp Bizkit. But there was a moment where they were really, really famous. Like Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit were a thing. 5 or 6 years later, they weren't anymore. And that's the Rolling Stones in the 70s. They weren't a thing anymore. Like, they were like, oh, the fucking Rolling Stones now. And then they started doing the glitter thing because David Bowie got famous. And they were like, we're going to wear fucking makeup. It's going to be fucking awesome. You know that?
Uh-huh.
And then Mick Jagger couldn't dance. He took Tina Turner to open up for him on tour, and he, like, stole all of her dance moves. This is a fact, by the way. You can look this fucking shit up.
Okay.
Like, he couldn't dance. If you watch him dance now, he looks like a black lady dancing because he is a black lady dancing because it's Tina fucking Turner's moves. Yeah.
Still works for him.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
He had a motherfucker heart attack and didn't die.
That's okay.
That's how you know he's demonic.
They're still selling out shows, though.
And?
All right, so that's one reason. Give me more.
Well, they didn't write any of the fucking songs I like. That's the real reason.
Well, that's...
He couldn't fucking dance. Number three, they're only fucking famous because the fucking Beatles broke up. A lot of fucks, right? I hate the Rolling Stones. And then they're like, the greatest rock band in the world. All right. I am a rudimentary guitar player at best, and Keith Richards can't play guitar really.
Okay.
No, you can't lie. Oh. Eddie Van Halen.
All right.
Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Rhoads.
Mm-hmm.
Dimebag Darrell. Zakk Wylde. It's the fucking Rolling fucking Stones, man. No!
All right, well, then who's the best band to you?
It's a hard question. Hmm. I can give you a top five. I can't give you the best all. Freddie Mercury's probably the best vocalist to ever be in a rock band ever, though.
Okay.
Ever. Like, ever, 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 ever. What about you? Who's your favorite rock and roll vocalist? We'll do it that way.
Oh,
I like fucking Mick Jagger, man. So
afraid
fucking
to say anything. Wait, I'm put on the spot. You have to give me a moment.
I'll give you 7 moments. This is how fucking podcasting works. You were like, who's my favorite? I gave you a singer. It's a volleyball. I volleyed back.
I got it.
Good.
I dropped the ball.
Oh, I thought you said you got it. Do you remember when Freddie Mercury died?
Sort of, yes.
Do you remember when George Michael fronted Freddie Mercury at the reunion thing? They made an EP about it, 5 songs.
I didn't remember that until you just reminded me of it.
But do you recall it happening?
A little bit, yeah.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. He should have joined Queen then because he died of drug overdose eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And had he been in Queen, they might have kept him busy and he wouldn't have been in his house eating pills and yada, yada, yada. I don't know. Queen's my guy, Freddie Mercury. Who's your favorite band of all time? Who do you think?
I said the Rolling Stones.
Oh, that's
that was. Yeah.
How come you never saw them play? They've been touring since '89 consistently.
Okay, so Well, because I did the whole mom thing, and so money was put to the side. Oh,
we can do some mathematics, because that makes no fucking sense. See, if they start in 89, I know when you became a mom mathematically, so...
When I started to be able to afford to pay for shows, right? Actually, I want to go back. Okay. My favorite is actually Fleetwood Mac.
Now!
So, the three came out at the same time.
I'm going to decimate you, so prepare.
Prepared already.
Are you a Fleetwood Mac fan, or do you think you're a Fleetwood Mac fan? Because you don't even know who the original singer of Fleetwood Mac is, do you?
I think I'm a Fleetwood Mac fan.
Who's the original singer?
I don't have one.
Peter Green.
Okay.
Do you know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Well, there was a documentary on it that I did watch.
Did you watch the documentary?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I did like it. I just didn't remember who the lead singer was.
He's so good. He just died recently, too.
Did he?
Yeah. He had, this green guitar to my right that you're looking at, that's a replica of a 59 Gibson Les Paul. That is the most expensive 59, a real one, are the most expensive guitars on the planet Earth. And Peter Green, Fleetwood Mac, fucking had one because he was in a band in the 60s and they weren't that expensive yet, right? He sold that shit and it went to fucking Kirk Hammett in Metallica, who spent a small fortune to get his hands on that one. So what I want to do, if it's okay with you, and I do this to some people who tell me they love Fleetwood Mac, I want to play you a song where he's singing and playing guitar with McAfee and fucking Mick Fleetwood. So that's the rhythm section, hence the name of the band. And it's years before, like, you know, Witchy Woman and all that fucking shit. That's not really Fleetwood Mac. That's fine. You're like, I like Fleetwood Mac Rumors. It's so good.
It is.
Is this it? No, this is it. This is so beautiful, and I want you to listen to it. And you might not like it, and it's okay if you don't like it, okay?
Okay.
But this is what Fleetwood Mac was. It was like a thing. It's so good. It's so good. And you're like, you gotta hear his voice. And this is a British guy. I want to stress this to you.
Okay.
When you hear his voice. So good. Need someone's hand. Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
I love that play. That's Fleetwood Mac.
Okay, I could get behind that.
And so she didn't know about this. And Lindsey Buckingham didn't know about this. Because it was an England thing. And they were famous. And that guy singing flipped out. Drugs and shit. And just kind of left.
Huh.
And he's the band.
Yeah.
But Mick Fleetwood, you know what I'm saying, is still playing drums. And McAfee's still on the bass. So go to LA, mate. I mean, we'll go find a new fucking band, you know. And they did.
And they did.
And then Rumors eclipses anything that this did. But the real Fleetwood Mac fans remember this. And until he died, we're like, maybe someday we'll get it back together. And he died.
It's a shame. Sounds really good.
But you're a Stevie Nicks fan, not a Fleetwood Mac fan.
I am a Stevie Nicks fan.
That's Fleetwood Mac.
I like it.
And then I'll bring on like 20-somethings onto the show who've never heard this shit in their lives. Like, I'm very adept at classic rock and roll. I know it. And I play this like, oh, what the fuck is this? Listen how nice this is. It's so good.
It sounds awesome.
And, like, so those guys came to L.A., Lindsay and her, what the fuck's her name? I just said her name.
Stevie.
Nicks, were in a band already, and they had a little record deal, and it didn't work out, and they were just losing. They were, like, had no money or anything. Lindsay's a monster guitar player. They fucking fired him from this modern incarnation. You know that, right?
I know that.
So, you know, replaced him?
Oh, I see him. I don't know the name.
It's Mike Campbell, and he was in Tom Petty's band.
Okay.
But between me and you, when they go play live, there's three guys that take his parts. Because he's that good. Because he sang like an angel, played like a motherfucker. So the motherfucker part, they have Mr. Campbell for, right? And the singing, they wheeled in a different guy. Because no one could sing like him except like a very young kid. He's like, you know what I mean? And then they got a third guy who's doing like kind of both, because Lindsey Buckingham doesn't play with a pick. It's all his fingers and shit. It's like a special, unique thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really dope. God, I love Peter Green.
So when I finally got to see them, I didn't see it with Lindsey and the band.
But you saw her, though.
I saw her.
No, it was the whole band except for Lindsey. They were all there.
Yeah.
Everybody's there. Yeah, I think even she came back, right? The keyboard player?
Mm-hmm.
She's back, right? Because yep. She left for 10 years.
Yep. I'm just saying, when I finally did get to go see him in concert, Lindsey. I didn't see Lindsey.
So you saw Mike Campbell?
I saw Mike Campbell.
He's a badass player.
Yeah. It was an amazing concert.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
What's your favorite concert you ever saw? Would that be it?
Probably, yeah.
That's the one?
I will say, theatrics was probably Pink.
Oh, yeah. I love Pink, actually.
Just the acrobatics, and she put on a really good show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But music-wise, definitely hands down Fleetwood Mac.
There was a whole thing, you know who Van Halen is, right?
Mm-hmm.
David Lee Roth wants to bring Pink on the tour for like an Eddie Van Halen tribute tour and have her be like the backup fucking David Lee Roth.
Interesting.
She has a huge voice.
Yeah, she does.
And so if David's too sick to sing, it's like she comes out and she's like, Panama!
Jump!
A little strange, but okay.
This is fucked up. And you didn't ask, I'm going to tell you anyway. And those watching in Facebook land didn't fucking ask either. I'm going to fucking tell them anyway. I had a motherfucker dream in like 2005. That's such a deep dream. I woke up, I wrote the shit down. I was producing a play about Guns N' Roses for Broadway. And in the financing, we had to get Pink to play Axl Rose. I know. And that was in 2005 I dreamed that shit. Now here she is joining Van Halen, sort of. Boosty, boosty, bop. All right. This is the first time you've been on the Vex and Vex podcast.
Correct.
When you were 12 years old, who are your top five favorite musical artists?
12. Well, of course, every girl was like New Kids on the Block.
And KOTB.
Yeah.
Were you a Donnie or were you a Jordan girl?
I actually like Joey.
No, he was adorable.
He was adorable.
He was really short like you. I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
I don't know.
All right, we're gonna skip on NKOTB. Who else do we have?
Yep. Bon Jovi.
Oh. You don't know how I feel about the Bon Jovi.
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
Next.
I did like Guns N' Roses.
GNR?
Uh-huh.
How can you love Guns N' Roses and Bon Jovi? And NKOTB.
I just did.
You're like, sweet child of mine is so good. It's so good. I love the guitar tone. There's two of them. I love about. Go ahead.
And then I can't believe I'm even going to say this, but I did like Bobby Brown.
I loved Bobby. Why would you deny
it's
Bobby?
It's such a weird range.
My Prerogative is the greatest fucking
song
ever. And if he didn't fucking get on the coke as bad as he did, he was supposed to be a 20-year artist. You know that, right? Like, Whitney eclipses him because she's fucking Whitney Houston. But if he never hooks up with her and he doesn't get too much into the party, and that he obviously did, mm-hmm. he would have had a 20, 30-year career. Like, you know that, right?
Yeah.
He's special. Because when he was 18 years old, My Prerogative was a number one hit around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made him do that fucking soundtrack to the fucking Ghostbusters 2. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I hated that song and that video, and I was a Bobby Brown fan. But you could even see then by the second record, he's like, "I'll sing it, Ghostbusters." That's not the way to be.
No, not at all.
Bobby Brown's great. Why would you? No.
Well, it just goes downhill from there.
But wait, was it New Edition or just Bobby Brown?
Combination. I like both of them.
Well, New Edition was different because that fucking cute guy with the little tiny mustache was like the lead. Hi, how you doing? I'm a singer, New Edition. Hi. Remember? I don't know his fucking name. He tried for a solo career after they broke up, and he's the only one who didn't have one.
Correct.
Because Belle Biv DeVoe had that Poison song, which was fucking huge.
It was definitely huge.
That girl is poison. And they still sing
that
shit.
That song.
That's fucking great.
It is.
That's fucking great. Number five.
Well, only because it was the first concert I ever went to was Milli Vanilli.
I love Milli Vanilli.
Yeah. My poor father sat there and he took my girlfriend and I to the concert, and the whole time he knew that they were lip singing, just let us enjoy the concert. It was horrible.
Well, no, I got to tell you something.
And then it came out.
Because we thought they were lip syncing because they were caught a few times, mm-hmm. no one assumed they didn't sing on the record. Because even people like Madonna and Britney Spears to this day, or 10 years ago, whenever they were touring, do that live.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unheard of to have backing tracks for your vocals. So he didn't know. If he knew they didn't sing the record, he'd have been a little like, "Arr!" But he didn't know that.
That's correct.
And they had, if you were too young, but they were caught twice before you saw them.
Okay.
On like, and then they did a VH1 Behind the Music about the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "There we go. There's 20,000 people. Girl, you know it's girl, you know it's girl, you know it." And I was like, "Oh." He's like, "What am I going to do? I ran away. It's crazy." That one's dead, by the way. Yeah. And then the other one learned how to really motherfucker sing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really good now. And nobody cares.
Too late.
I don't know. It's fucking 30 years ago at this point. Let that motherfucker go. And he didn't age. He looked really good. He does. With his little weird beard. It's creepy.
I have to look him up.
Milli Vanilli. You're ashamed of Milli Vanilli and Bobby Brown?
I am ashamed, yes.
Why? Those songs are fucking great.
I don't know.
It's a tragedy for me to see the dream is over. Remember that shit was a jam? I remember like taking like fucking like advisement on how to put clothes on and shit from that stuff. I was like, so when you wear the holes in your jeans, underneath you have the very tight sweatpants on, and then the girls will see the package. And then, of course, they didn't really sing the record. But by the time it happened... Do you remember who won the Grammy for Greatest Newcomer the year after?
No, who?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, I liked Mariah.
Because there was no maybe that that bitch wasn't singing. Although she's out of her fucking mind.
That she is.
She married that fucking child actor guy whose name I never remember.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon! That's the host name. Of Wallin' Out. He got really sick and now looks old. Like, Nick Cannon's significantly younger than me and he looks older than me now because he almost died.
Mm. That'll do it to you.
Yeah. And he got caught cheating on Mariah. Now, I can't, I mean, he was young. I can't imagine not cheating on Mariah. Like, that bitch is out of her fucking mind, man. That is.
Wasn't she married to the old producer guy before that?
Look at you knowing stuff.
Are you impressed?
I am. Do you know his name?
No.
Ciccone? Hold on. See, Bob Guccione was the publisher of Penthouse. Bob Guccione Jr. was his son. Fuck. Anyway, he's very Italian, and I'm blank. I might Google
and
it.
Old. He's just nasty looking.
I mean, that's just mean.
It is mean, but I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
So she goes from that to Nick Cannon? I don't know. Nick Cannon's like a little boy. So he went from a creepy old man to a little boy. Fuck that. What's her name? That fucking British chick with the fucked up teeth who sings. He's like the best singer ever. She's this thin. I can't remember her name at all. The one who sang the song for Titanic.
Oh, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion married a guy 175 years old.
That she did.
And was like, oh my God, my 175-year-old husband's going to die. He's 175. That's how that works. And he's super fat. Like, okay, she's a kajillionaire, right? So you marry this bitch. She's horrifically unattractive. She can't even spell hips. There isn't a chest to speak of. There's nothing except millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And his dick doesn't work anyway, so what the fuck does he care, right? So he marries this broad. Wouldn't you get a trainer? Like, wouldn't you do something? I'm going to go fucking random on my fucking camera. Hold the fuck on. You marry Celine Dion. Get a trainer. Like, your stomach's like a thing, man. Like,
Maybe she liked that.
It doesn't matter what she liked. He's dead.
But
because he fucking ate everything that moved.
It's true, but maybe she said don't. Maybe she liked that.
All right. I've been married a lot.
That you
so
have.
So what I'm going to advise you of is this. If your wife tells you to stay being a fat pig... There's something wrong. So either she has a fetish for fat pigs, which maybe it's a thing. Maybe
she
it's a thing.
I have.
Celine Dion. You ever see her fucking jacked up teeth in the fucking 80s before she's famous?
Try not to look.
They're so fucking bad. You know who's actually worse fucking teeth? And she's so pretty. I can't think of her fucking name. Not Amy Grant. Baby, baby. No, that's Amy Grant.
That is Amy Grant.
No, it's the other one who's not. Who's the... who is the big cunt?
Shania Twain.
Shania Twain! It was on the tip of my tongue. Thank you
look,
so much.
Look, I'm...
Yeah!
Giving all the answers.
You're the best. That's what we're doing together. It's like a co-hosting thing, you know? Like Shania it. Twain. Do you know who she married?
No.
Remember Def Leppard, how famous they were?
Yes.
Remember ACD, how famous they were?
Yes.
A guy named Mutt Lange produced those records. He's one of the greatest producers to ever walk the earth, but he's fucking crazy. So you'll play something, he's like, no, play it again. And then 4 hours later, he's like, no, play it again. So he has 800 fucking takes of you, so when he layers it, it's like this beautiful fucking thing. For real, before computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bands who worked for him hated it, but then you hear the record, and like Pour Some Sugar Man is a fucking great album. Well, it's Hysteria, really, but Pour Some Sugar Man, you know, good soon. Soon song. He marries her and starts producing her records. But she's still her and she's really, really pretty and she's really charming and everybody likes her with her new fucking teeth because they were fucking bad. He fucked her sister.
No way.
Yes! Her sister! All the bitches know. And he's so ugly. He's so ugly. Like he looks like a dog. His name is Mutt fucking Lang. I'm gonna pull a picture. You'll be like, oh my God, Mutt Lang. He fucked her sister. She's on tour, making them hundreds of millions of dollars. She's like, yeah, I don't know, man. The bitch was here. Kind of looks like you. I fucked her. What you gonna do? I'm sorry. And she fucking... And that was the end of her. Without him producing your record, you're not really famous anymore. Just saying.
True.
She was so pretty, though. Shania Twain and their jacked up fucking teeth. Let's pull up Mutt Lange.
Yeah, I want to see this Mutt.
You do want to see Mutt Lange. Mm-hmm. He is not attractive. He's a great producer. He's not going to work with Starscream anyway, so I can say, oh, he's so ugly. Fuck, he's worse now. When you see this, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Run us your Facebook first. You see that? That's Mutt fucking Lange.
That's him now or then?
Then.
Oh.
Shania Twain's husband.
Yuck.
Hey, Mutt fucking Lange. He's not even British. He's from America, eh? Let me see today. Here's him with Shania. Oh, he's even fatter. That's him with Shania.
Oh, boy.
She's dope. Look at her. And look at his face. And look at his belly. Oh, he's fucking her like that. And then she went on tour and he fucked the sister. I think the sister's in the upper right-hand corner. Biggest celebrity cheating scandals ever.
So big that I don't even remember it.
It was a pretty big deal. Dude, he's so not a good-looking guy. Look at her. She's like, I am winning in life. I'm making money. Why are you fucking my sister, honey? No, look. This is after she called him. She's like, what the fuck? What the fuck, man? Poor Mutt Lange. She was so pretty. Look, look at that.
She's pretty.
New fucking teeth. Fuck that. Now we're going to do. Shania Twain original teeth. It's.
These pictures should match.
Oh, no. None of them match. Show me the original teeth, you motherfucker. Did she scrub the internet? Maybe she scrubbed the internet. I would have scrubbed the internet. Is she fucking. No.
Are you sure she changed her teeth?
Oh. I saw the footage. There's like a 15-year-old version of her, mm-hmm. and she's the cutest girl in the world, and she opened her mouth. Like, but she could sing. That's why she wasn't famous younger.
Mm.
And if you look at her teeth, they're flawless. You ever see Tom Cruise's teeth, how they're fucking all center?
Yep.
How's like right there? Right? How did you not know that? I don't know. Scientology. Yeah, you can't find them. Oh, Shania, I want to see your original fucking teeth so bad, you bitch. Anyway, if you're listening, come on the show. Show me your teeth. She's not listening.
No.
NKOTB, you ever see them in concert?
I did.
And like the reunion concert when they're 50?
No.
So you went back in the day with the staircase and everything.
Yes.
Ah, step one. Step two. Think I don't remember? I remember.
See, and this is why my father's a saint. Not only did he take me to Milli Vanilli, but he took me to New Kids on the Block.
I would not
too.
Do that shit.
Well, he did.
I'd be like, no. Take your fucking self.
Good guy.
You know how good I am?
How good are you?
I saw Hanson live.
By your own free will?
My friend wanted to go, this woman, and she's like, no, I don't go with me. And I was like, all right, female friend, I will go. And I didn't ever fuck this girl in my life, because everyone I know fucked her, so it was not my thing. And I went to this goddamn concert. Fucking Hanson. 30 years old. I'm like, I mean, yeah, I think I was about 30. I'm like, fucking Hanson. There I am. Mmm-bop. Mmm-bop. They can play.
So you got nothing out of it and you had to endure that concert.
No. I like to see stuff. I like to learn different things. You know what the weirdest concert I ever went to? Ever, before I get back on my massive hatred of Bon Jovi?
What's that?
The Black Eyed Peas.
Okay. Oh, I saw Fergie by herself.
Okay. Interesting.
Just because it was free.
She's from Kids Incorporated. You know that, right?
I do.
Yeah. So is Martika. What was it? Hold on. Fucking soldiers. Toy soldiers. Remember that fucking song? Martika.
Trying to put it out of my brain.
Martika was awesome. So there's Fergie doing the meth.
Yep.
She gets kicked out of that fucking, the pussycat dolls thing. They kick her out because she's a meth addict.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't she pee herself on stage too?
Oh, I don't know that fucking shit.
I think she did.
Oh, that was later in life though. That's when she was famous. Mm-hmm. That's with the Black Eyed Peas. So I go see the Black Eyed Peas. I'm going to say it's like 06, maybe 07.
Okay.
My wife is no longer with us. I'm all fucked up. I have a day job that I hate. I'm going back to fucking story time. Black Eyed Peas. And this wealthy woman whose husband had died, so someone thought we had something in common. He introduced me to her. She picks me up in my shitty little row home in a giant yellow Hummer. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. I don't have a Hummer. All right. And she's like, I don't know, short and stubby. And you could tell she was married for a long time. But she's like, let's go have fun. And I'm like, yeah, you're paying. Nah, I'm cool. I'll go to your fucking concert. I like to see shit, you know? So I get in this giant fucking Hummer. It was pretty cool, not gonna lie. We drive over to fucking Jersey, Camden. Because she's rich from this fucking insurance settlement from her husband dying. She has all this fucking money. We're like second row or some shit. Off to the side. This will come in handy later in the story. So we're off to the side, boop, boop, a doo. And I'm just sitting there like, please stab me in the brain, because this is so awful. But like, they're doing the hits, my lady humps and all that fucking shit, right? And I'm just like, and she's like, getting up, she's like, But she's like kind of fat, right? So there's like a sweat thing happening under the titty and like around the back. And she's like thinking, I'm going to fuck her later. I'm like, I'm not fucking this girl, man. She smells weird now, you know? Like, no. But, anyway, wasn't my type. Curly hair and shit. Not a big fan. So she's doing her thing and she's dancing and shit, right? And then there's like a break in the show. And the band steps back. And on top of this, literally, it looks like a pyramid. But mm-hmm. It has a flat stage on the top. So it's like a pyramid with a flat stage. Will.i.am. Not William. Or Bill, Will.i.am comes out and he's got an acoustic guitar. And if you remember, there was a time when Wyclef Jean played guitar on his tracks, which is pretty cool because he's a real guitar player. He's not a great guitar player, but he did play his chords.
Okay.
And he covered songs and he's a thing. So now Will.i.am's doing that fucking thing. And he's like playing the guitar and he's singing. And I'm not going to lie. I'm like, oh, maybe he's more musical than I gave him credit for. Maybe I'm a cunt. And I'm on the side. And I just happen to look over. And there's a guitar player standing behind on the ground of the pyramid playing the parts. And I'm still in denial. And then he went like this. With the guitar.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's doing it with his fucking hand frantically. And I look up and Will's guitar's not plugged in.
Oh my goodness.
And then he just like falls back into like a trampoline or some shit. And it's like this big dramatic moment in the show. And I'm like, you're a kite! You're just faking playing the guitar! You couldn't learn the two chords, William! You fucking piece of shit! So now I'm mad. That's it. I'm yelling at the girl. I'm like, sweaty bitch! Did you see it? Did you see it, sweaty bitch? Scout it out. So kind of love it so much. No, fuck that. He's a cunt. And if I ever, we're not famous, right? We didn't sell any fucking records. No one cares. I have one hit song. People watch the video 300,000 times. Not gonna lie, pretty amazing. Doesn't mean a fucking thing, right? Mm-hmm. Will.i.am has like 4 million fucking views on this one, 100 million views on that one. He's a big fucking star. If I ever get to meet him, I'll be like, wow. Actually, I don't have to meet him. He's insecure and he's a piece of shit. Don't put yourself out there. He was already a star. He was already famous. He didn't have to lie and be like, look, I play the guitar. Play the chords. I suck at guitar, but I can play two chords. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Don't do that. There's little kids like, you're so great. You're playing the guitar. He's not great. He's a cunt. A cunt. All right, we'll spin back off of that. There you go. I also hate Bon Jovi.
Go from one rant to another one.
Do you want to know why I hate Bon Jovi?
Why do you hate Bon Jovi?
It's so fucked up because I just did this like 2 episodes ago, so they're getting bored. But they'll leave the camera on you when I do it, so it'll be okay.
Okay.
Real quick story. Do you know who Skid Row is?
Yes.
I remember you. All that shit, right? To tell the story correct. John Bon Jovi. Fuck it, I'll come back and fucking... It's bitching and moaning time. I know you're a fan. They're all going to fucking log off now. They all know the fucking story. Okay. John Bon Jovi went to high school with Snake, the guitar player from Skid Row.
Okay.
They would hang out together in each other's basements, put the black light on, play Black Sabbath records, and smoke weed when the parents were at work.
Okay.
Normal kid shit, right? They're hanging out, and John says to the other one, hey, bro, if you get a record deal, you get me on. But if I get a record deal, Snake, I'm going to get you and your band on. He's like, awesome, John. Cool. In my mind, they should have been in the same band. But even back then, John didn't see it that way, right? Mm-hmm. John graduates high school. Barely. Piece of shit. His uncle, at the time, owned the most expensive recording studio in New York City. These cunts called the Rolling Stones recorded there. Ozzy Osbourne recorded there. And John's from Jersey. So he'd get in his piece of shit secondhand car and drive to New York City every night when the studio closed, and he'd clean everything. He'd do the floors and put the trash in. He's 18 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting paid fucking nothing. But the studio's closed. So this nephew of the owner makes demos on the most expensive recording consoles in the world. In 1981, 1980, you couldn't do home recording.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022, on a computer, you could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do it back then. So this guy's demos were already sounding better than everything else. Then he would take a bag of weed and he'd wait for someone to finish a session. He's like, hey, man, you're the drummer, right? You're fucking great. Rock stars. I'll give you a bag of weed, bro, if you just can play this one song down the hall for me. Yeah, no fucking problem, kid. Give me the weed, right? Give him a bag of weed or whatever. Maybe coke, whatever he wants. He goes and sits down. He cuts the drums to the song he's never heard before. But now you have pro drums from a rock star guy,
mm-hmm.
right? Then the bass player from another band. Hey, buddy, you want to come play a song? Yeah, sure, no problem, kid. Boom, 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 boom. Bass is in. So now he's got these fucking demos that sound like an album. Right? Like, unbelievably advanced shit because he has the best recording equipment available in 1980 and 81 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember K-Rock in New York City? It's where Howard Stern used to broadcast from.
Yep.
There was one in California and one in New York City. K-Rock that year, we'll say 82, maybe 81, it's one of them, had a Christmas thing. They're like, we're going to put out a record of all local New York City bands. And we're going to sell it for charity, right? It'd be awesome. All these local bands submit. Real bands in New York who are playing shows. Well, Bon Jovi, because he's in New York City and listens to K-Rock because he's working at studios, submits his song. It sounds better than everybody else's because nobody has 10 grand to go to a studio and make a record, let alone buy the equipment that's 100 grand. You understand? Mm-hmm. When it comes time for K-Rock to play just a single, the only one they could play is the Bon Jovi song because it sounds radio ready. Mm-hmm. So Runaway, a song you've heard before, mm-hmm. was a hit before he had a record deal. So they played on the radio. Do's a little run. Oh, I do, 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 do. There's no band. It's just this kid in his bedroom. Motley Crue's manager descends on New York to find him, as do all these record companies. He opted to hire Doc McGee, who later became Kiss's manager, like currently for Kiss. Kiss! That's the fucking manager right now. I need water. Hold on. So Doc McGee, who is Motley Crue's manager, and they're up and coming at the time, Shout at the Double Time. Remember that stuff?
Okay.
You have no idea what I'm saying.
A little bit, yes,
little
I do.
A little bit, her. He starts managing Bon Jovi. Well, Bon Jovi doesn't have a band. Mm-hmm. The guy who just auditioned for Kiss, named Richie Sambora, who didn't get the gig, mm-hmm. now auditions for Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. And Bon Jovi's like, you're the greatest guitar player I've ever seen in my life. It's really hard. And then they went to the cover bands in New Jersey where guys were professional, great musicians who were older than him. They were 25, 30 years old. He's 18, 19, 20, right? Mm-hmm. He hires this great drummer, this great fucking keyboard player, and this great bass player. They're older than him. The bass player just died like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. You saw that? Mm-hmm. And now they have a band. Well, the first record comes out, it drops like a stone. No one gives a fuck about it. But again, he had a hit without a label, so they took him seriously. This is so fucked up. You know who Kiss is, obviously. Kiss! The biggest Kiss songs, like the pop ones, were co-written by a guy named Desmond Child, who you've never heard of.
Never.
Desmond Child had like a New York band in the 70s, and Paul Stanley kind of discovered him in the club a little bit, and they wrote I Was Made for Loving You. Mm-hmm. That's the fucking disco tune, yep. The one that killed their career. Big hit, though. Desmond Child co-wrote it. Bon Jovi, on his first tour, is opening up for Kiss. And they introduce him to Desmond Child. When you think of Slippery and Wet and mm-hmm. like Wanted Dead or Alive and all those great huge songs, they're co-written by Desmond Child.
Okay.
They're not really Bon Jovi songs. They're this guy and Bon Jovi. Do you mm-hmm. understand? So they're huge hits later. This record comes out, now it's huge. Now he's the biggest rock star in the world. He calls up his friend Snake. Hey, buddy, I didn't forget you, boozy, boozy bop. Remember high school? Let's get the band signed, buddy. And Snake's like, fuck yeah. I saw this fucking Dead or Alive. She's fucking awesome. They're like, we had a problem, John. We don't have a singer. And he's like, no problem at all. My manager knows a guy. They fly Sebastian Bach, a 19-year-old kid from Canada, to fucking New Jersey. They didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And he gets plugged into this band like a boy band. Mm-hmm. And they put out a record. And they're like, all right, hold on. We're making videos and you're going to be famous and shit, but you got to sign these contracts. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, listen, I'm John Bon Jovi. I'm a big fucking star, right? I'm taking 50% of everything. And you're going to split the other 50% with you guys because 50% of nothing... I'm sorry, 100% of nothing is better than 50% of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I said it wrong. 100% of nothing is still nothing. Every time I remember he gets played on the radio, actually it was more. He got 60 cents off a dollar and they got 40 cents off a dollar. You with me?
Uh-huh.
60-40. So every time it's played on a radio, he gets 60 cents and they get 40 cents to split five ways.
Wow.
In perpetuity. And he grew up with this guy. He gives 10% of it to Richie Sambora, who's his friend. He's like, you're my partner, Rich. Well, a couple years go by, and Rich is like, you know I'm really rich, right? And he's like, yeah, it's fucking awesome. He's like, I want to give them back their publishing, because this is weird, because I have like five yachts, and they live in their mom's basement, so I'm going to give them the 10% back. So he does, which is a classy fucking move, because he didn't need the money. You understand?
Uh-huh.
In the 2000s, when hair metals is over, mm-hmm. grunge is over, it's a different world, Snake calls his dear friend Bon Jovi of 40 years on the phone. He says, hey, John, I would really appreciate it. Could you give back my publishing, please? Because, you know, we're getting older. They don't play the song on the radio anymore. He's like, oh, I can't do that, Snake. It's a business. Click. He's a piece of shit. He grew up with that guy. When you look it up online, John Bon Jovi's worth over $300 million.
I'm sure.
$350, $320, whatever it is today. Over $300 million. Now, Snake is worth like, I don't know, $20 million. $300 million to $20 million. And he couldn't give him back his publishing. Why? Why? Oh, because he's a bad fucking person. He's a bad guy. I could see fucking over strangers, maybe. Like, I run a business. I don't want to fuck anybody over. I just don't. It's not in my nature. Mm-hmm. But I would never rob my friends. I wouldn't need to.
No.
And $350 million, and he's taking this guy's publishing to this day.
That's so crazy. In the beginning, I was like totally into the story because it sounded like great business practices, like using the tools that you have and using your father or uncle's tools to make your music.
Okay.
And pulling other professionals in to help you create this track.
Which I'm with you.
Totally. I thought that that was great business, like great mindset, until you hear you can't be slimy your whole entire life.
And then his daughter had a heroin overdose. She almost died. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. He's a garbage human being.
And yet he sits there and tries to do like things back for the neighborhood and homeless stuff.
Do you want me to explain that to you?
Go ahead.
When you have $300 million and another like $40 million came in, you got to give away a lot to not pay any taxes.
Makes sense.
You didn't know that, did you?
Mm.
So every little thing that he does, he offsets in his taxes to not pay any. And then there is a God, because this motherfucker went on tour a few months ago. Did you hear what happened?
No.
You don't know?
I don't know.
He's singing like he has funk.
Really?
I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
It's fucked up, dude. So John Bon Jovi looks amazing. Mm-hmm. He works out constantly. He's in great condition. His hair is beautiful still. And he got on stage to play, and he can't sing anymore. And there's no one left in the band. Every single person except the drummer left. Oh, the keyboard player's still there. Here it is, April 22. Here it is. So this is 421. Oh, maybe this one's better. This is in Nashville.
Download the Domino's app.
I don't pay the fucking money. I will have commercials on my fucking YouTube until the day I die. Fuck YouTube. I'm never paying them ever. I don't give a fuck. They're long commercials, aren't they?
They are.
I hate it so much.
A lot of commercials.
You hear his voice, right? And I love this song.
He's getting water like it's gonna help.
Look how great he looks, right?
It looks fantastic.
Oh, shake it off. Ready for this?
Oh my God.
Would you pay for that?
Absolutely not.
Oh, Jenny. And the band's amazing.
Yeah.
The background vocals are sharp. What the fuck?
Did he go on tour after that? Was he still performing?
I don't know. They figured this out around March and April. I don't know what's happening. I don't know where he's at now. I haven't seen any videos lately. I'm not a fan, right?
Yeah.
But And then people are like delusional online, like, no, he was fucking great. And he is dancing. And he's in better shape than I am. And he's 65 years old. But goddamn, bro, the voice is gone. Like Vince Neil from Motley Crue's bad. He's not that bad.
Mm-mm.
Vince, you can't see his dick over his stomach. He can't. He's without a mirror. He can't see his dick ever, you know. But at least he can get. No, he's not. He's just like, I'm out of breath. I'm Vince Neil. He's the one that called Dr. Feel Good. Okay, I'm gonna breathe in. This one's tell me that wasn't awful.
That was horrible.
And that's every fucking night on the tour, because people have phones. That's what's happening every night on the fucking tour. So now I think the tour's off the fucking road.
That's insane.
Fuck you, Bon Jovi. You get what you deserve. You think I didn't know? I knew. And Skid Row has hired a new 12-year-old singer, this kid. He's probably like 28, but he looks 12. He's amazing. And they sound great, and they're on tour.
Hmm. Right
now.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Good for them.
And he's still keeping half their publishing.
That's so horrible.
In perpetuity. It's bad, right?
Yeah.
You don't need it. Like,
no, he doesn't.
If you pass 100 million liquid, for real, in this day and age, and you own all of your houses clear,
mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Like, it's fuck it. I'm just, fuck it.
And he has other businesses.
I mean, he has a myriad of businesses.
And yeah.
I knew somebody who was a huge John Bon Jovi fan, this girl I dated a million years ago. I knew her brother, a cool guy. And so she was just a huge fan her whole life. And then after we didn't see each other anymore, she went and worked for his baseball team. Or no, sorry, his football team. Mm-hmm. And she, I spoke to her about it, and I was like, what's it like? She's like, I have this guy's phone number in my cell phone. I can't call him, but it's there if there's an emergency. And he pays me $8 an hour. Oh, God. And she's like, it's just, I can't survive on this. I'm like, well, get a real job. Fuck him. You know?
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, if you're that wealthy, wouldn't you just pay everybody around you like a comfortable fucking living? Of course he's not, because he's greedy as fuck. Like, I really think the number is if I hit 100 million, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm not going to sweat anything. I'm like, I have 100 million fucking dollars. Like, I don't know how much more you need. Mm-hmm. He's 60 something years old. God took his voice. That's some funny shit. You're a bad person. And that's what it sounds like. Did you have a stroke, John Bon Jovi? Why are you on tour, John Bon Jovi? What kind of choices are you making, John Bon Jovi? Do you know Motorhead is? Have you heard that name before?
Yes.
I saw Motorhead on their final tour while Lemmy was dying. Mm-hmm. I saw Motorhead in September and he died in Christmas. 3 months almost to the day that I saw him, he died. And it was like, he could still sing better than John Bon Jovi on that tour. You know what I mean? That guy was 70.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The chickens have come home to roost, as they say.
I can understand why you don't like them now.
What about you? Did I change your opinion a little bit?
You have.
He's kind of a bad person, right?
Drastically.
And then Bobby Brown to me? I want to ask your opinion on something. This isn't a thing I would like to know.
Okay.
In your opinion, did he turn on Whitney to drugs and really is her demise? Or was he just kind of like there as her like partner?
I think there probably were just like the vicious storm that came together and they probably just enabled each other.
She was doing coke before she ever met him. Because it was the 80s and that was kind of a thing. And she was hiding it from her mother. She was having it under her nails. And she had that like lesbian chick. Did you see the documentary?
Yes, I did.
That's a heavy fucking documentary.
That blew my mind too, yeah.
And then the chick left her. Mm-hmm. She was, you know what's fucked up? Had the chick not left her, she wouldn't have drowned in that bathtub.
That's correct.
She'd have been there at least, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then her kid died the same fucking way.
Insane.
Like a year later. Mm-hmm. She was not a pretty girl, Bobby Christine, but.
No, she had a tough life.
No, she did not. She lived in a lap of fucking luxury with fucking nannies and shit. She was fine.
Yeah, but your Remember parents were fucked up.
So are mine.
It doesn't matter how much money and lap of luxury that you live.
All right, there's a kid right now getting beat in Texas. Somebody getting sodomized in Louisiana. I think the kid's okay. Okay. Some little girl, 8-year-old, has cancer right now. We feel bad for Bobby Christina. Get the fuck out of here. The best schools in the world. The greatest education imaginable. She was surrounded by family the whole time. Her mother was a crazy person. Did you ever watch that fucking cable show with them?
No.
Oh, it was so amazing. She literally, from all the fucking, because cocaine, I don't do drugs. It's not my forte. Mm-mm. But you can't pass fecal matter out of your body. And Bobby had to put his hand up there and break it loose because it like gets real hard and makes it very painful. It was in the show. This was in the show.
He had to do that to himself?
To her. Because that was the wife. That guy. He had so much talent. I get really upset because then when he came out with Humping Around, it was already over.
Yeah.
Like my prerogative is like the greatest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I was like, this is so amazing. My prerogative. Like I loved it. I was like fucking 12 and shit. It was like my shit. And then a couple years later, it's like, I'm humping around. I'm like, bro, I know that you're a millionaire and you live in a house and shit that's like bigger than anything I'll ever comprehend. But this is no longer hip or street in any capacity. It looked like Kid and Play dancing around to a pornographic fucking mix. Mm-hmm. Like it was fucked up. Speaking of Kid and Play, any fan of Kid and Play?
I did like Kid and Play.
I never liked the music, but House Party was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. And when that movie came out, that was the age I was going to house parties.
That's funny.
It was pretty amazing. And then the dad following around trying to beat him up the whole time. It was pretty good.
I did sneak out of school in high school to go watch Kid Cross. What was it called?
Criss Cross.
They did a video around the corner from my high school and we all snuck out. Yes.
They made you jump. Daddy Mac will make you jump.
Yeah, I think jump, I don't Mac even Daddy. Remember what song it was, but we all.
The darker one's dead.
Had to go see it and I don't even think I really knew who they were at the time.
Remember Kaboom?
Yes.
You remember Kaboom?
I do remember Kaboom.
Okay, tell me, I gotta talk about Kaboom. Okay, so Roosevelt Mall had the club. Mm-hmm. Now, I have never been inside of Kaboom.
Me neither.
No, I figured you would have definitely frequented Kaboom.
Nope.
I was rock and roll, man, like the horns and shit. Like, we were not a Kaboom crowd. But we would get on the bus with the same Kaboom kids coming home, mm-hmm. and all the women were drunk as fuck. And I'm like, we are 15. Where did you get a 40? to ingest, but they did. I went to grade school with this girl. I could say her first name was Rochelle, right? Mm-hmm. And she was like really nice and kind of a nerd. And then followed me around a little bit because she had a crush on me back in like 1987 or 88 or some shit. And I run into her like 92 on the bus and she's like, God, hammered and verbally abused. Like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, we obviously are going to the same neighborhood. I don't know you anymore. I'm listening to my Motley Crue on my headphones. Actually, it was probably The Doors, you know? And she's just like berating me about things that happened in 1987. Yeah. Childhood.
Good times.
You didn't go to Kaboom, though.
I didn't.
How'd you know it was there?
I knew people that went there. I wasn't allowed to do that kind of stuff.
You didn't lie to your mom and just go?
No.
Interesting.
Mm-mm. Tight reins.
Did your mom work?
She did.
What did she do?
She did actuarial work downtown.
I'm sorry, actuary?
Actuary. She said she was an actuarial.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
I don't. What is it?
She did something with numbers. That's all she would tell
I feel like an accountant is more. Actually, I'm going to look that
no,
up.
No, it's not really an accountant. No.
What'd your dad do?
My dad was a driver for the Enquirer.
That's a great job.
It was.
He was out of the house at like 3 o'clock in the fucking morning.
Yeah, but they didn't live together. So.
Yeah. I don't know this shit.
They were divorced. I don't know.
Interesting. Any siblings?
I have a younger brother and then I have a younger sister.
So you're the oldest.
I am.
And you weren't out going to Kaboom, huh?
No, I was too busy running around the corner trying to smoke cigarettes. And according to my mom, I was going to be barefoot and pregnant by the time I was 15.
I could hear people saying shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you grew up in the K.
I did.
How do you have teeth? How'd you fucking pull that off?
Like, I don't know. I had a mother that whipped my ass.
She was an actuary. How was your neighborhood at that time?
My neighborhood was fine at that time. The neighbors all kind of looked out for each other.
Like 1990, 91, it was like pretty decent, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I mean, you just had to watch that you didn't like get your purse taken.
K&A was getting
about
tricky.
It. K&A was getting a little tricky, but...
Because I was in high school then, and I would take the L from K&A. Because I was in Port Richmond.
Yep.
The 60 comes up, get off the 60. And so to avoid K&A, I started taking different buses to like Tioga.
Mm-hmm.
Or the 73 all the way to Bridge and Pratt and come in the back way. You know what I mean? Like I would just avoid kind of the K&A because it was a thing. Although a lot, man, this is, okay, here we go. January 1990, so it was technically December 31st of 1989.
Okay.
In January 1990, which makes me 14 years old.
Okay.
I went out with my friend Kevin, who now unfortunately is kind of like a real drug addict, like, sad. Great guy. I loved him, but sad. And then there was this, I was a freshman, he was a sophomore, we were children. We would hang out at Acme. I don't know why we hung out at Acme. Like we would get together, we'd get dressed up, you're all looking nice for the girls, and we'd go to Acme. To the point where we befriended the security guard at Acme. He's like, hey, what's up, fellas? So now we're hanging out with a guy named Greg, black guy. Nice guy, actually. So Greg was older, I think he was like 21. I'm like 13 years old, turning 14, I'm a child. And there were like people in our high school who were like seniors who worked there. It was a weird dichotomy. And we just hung out. Hey, what's up, man? And the manager would just look at us like, oh, God, get out of my store. But we're just hanging out. It's fun. It's Acme, man. So anyway, we befriend Greg. Greg's like, listen, on New Year's Eve when I get off work at like 10, there's a party by Bridget Brett. You guys want to go? And we're like, oh, an adult party? They'll be drinking? And in my mind, I'm like, maybe I'll have sex. I was like, I'm going to start 1990 with the sex. This is amazing. Very Beavis and Butthead-esque of me. I was like, So we meet Greg when he gets off work. He's like, come on, man. We jump on the bus, man. Black guy. That's how you talk. And we go down to Bridge of Pratt. And we're walking around. And we're at an adult party. And there's like beer and shit. And I'm like, and no one's carding anyone. And I guess there's women, but they're not really attractive. They're like nerds, I guess. I don't know.
Nerds at Bridge and Pratt?
No, at the party that was off. It was in Northeast Philly.
Okay.
Whatever, Kensington, girl. You don't fucking know. So here I am at this party. And of course, I'm a little kid. I can't speak to a 25-year-old woman like, so what school did you go to when you were in college? Like, I don't know. So I had no game. I'm just hanging out. And the whole time, I remember I'm watching like a Swatch Watch, right? And I have to be home. My mom was like, okay, it's New Year's Eve. You can be home at 12:30, which is like, oh. Because back then it was like 11 o'clock was my cutoff, right? She's like, you can come home at 12:30. We didn't even leave the party till midnight, right? Then I go, and because it's New Year's Eve, the L's not running.
Yeah.
Nothing's running. And I'm like, oh my God, we're stuck. Greg is lit. He's like, I'm just buzzed. We can walk it. Fuck it. Let's go. You gotta get home. My friend, for some reason, didn't have a curfew at all, which is, would explain why maybe he's a drug addict today. So here we are. We're walking home. Everything's cool. We get to Kensington and Allegheny, and I'm going to wait for the 60, which is still running. And a random girl walks up, like four of them, and she had hickeys all over her neck, this white girl with giant breasts, and she just grabbed me and stuck her tongue down my throat. She's like, happy nay, and I'm like, yes, that, yes, and now I'm happy, right? Little vexed at attention. Nothing happens, but hey, I got a kiss, you know? And then she like rolled off into the night there, and I'm like, I guess I have to walk home now, because it's like fucking 1:30 in the morning, I'm going to die, you know? And there were fireworks going off. Like, K&A, 89 into 90 was an exciting place to be. And I was fucking there, man. I don't know how. I don't know how that happened. So anyway, I'm walking home. I get in. My parents, bing, bang, boom, screaming, throwing shit. What the fuck's wrong with me? I'm like, I don't know. The bus didn't run. I didn't know. I'm fucking bored. I didn't say fucking. I did talk back. That was bad. And I got sent to bed. And then I was punished for like a week or something. It was worth it. I'm not going to lie to you. So random K&A girl with 15 kids now, because this shit was like 32 fucking years ago. Hey. Thank you. Thank you for that.
See, you didn't even need to go to Bridge and Pride. Just could have went to K&A and had a good time.
And then I kind of never forgot that. Mm-hmm. Like, K&A was jumping, man. I mean, now it's like, oh.
Now you don't want to go there.
Did you see the car accident that happened there like 2 months ago?
That was insane, yes.
I knew the EMT on site. I worked on his father's roof. He's like, you want to see the fucking pictures? And my whole crew's like, yeah.
Yeah. I know. A guy I dated was the firefighter, too, that was there.
Did you see the pictures?
I did.
It's so bad.
It's horrible.
And I saw it. I got something worse. I got in trouble on the fucking last podcast for this. Oh, I just keep talking. Sorry, Jennifer. All right, here we go. I was on here, and right before I did a show, like 2 weeks ago, I think it's 2 weeks ago today, my neighbor across the street, who's a police officer, is like, Vex, I'm sending you a video of a man that blew his own face off live on Facebook.
Oh, jeez.
Be careful. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And then the person was coming, just like you did today. So I set up the microphones and all. And I'm like, I have 5 minutes. I think I can do it, right? So I run around. I go to use the facilities. I'm like brushing my teeth. And I'm playing this video. And this guy's just bitching and moaning. And then out of nowhere, gets a shotgun. And it blows out the center mass. And it opens like this.
Ugh.
And it's just like hanging. And I'm just, and I can still see it in my mind. I should not have fucking watched that fucking video.
No.
Yeah. I don't know why the fuck I brought that up.
I don't know why either, but well, you just put that in my head. Thank you.
Because you told me about the fucking video that you saw from the fucking fireman.
I did not. You're the one that brought that up because you were kissing girls at K&A.
And fucking 32 years ago. It doesn't even count if it's 32 years ago. You can't even prove it legally. Did it happen? We don't know.
Possibly.
What?
Possibly.
Blasphemy. So, yeah. You want to hear something interesting?
Sure.
You're 52 minutes into your first podcast.
Wow. See, fucked up, right? Go fast.
I told you it went fast. Did. You didn't believe me. So where'd you just come back from? There's somebody in Facebook land.
Puerto Rico.
How was it?
It was fantastic.
Was it fantastic?
It was fantastic. I would go back again in a heartbeat.
How was the driving?
They drive crazy over there.
Dominican Republic's worse.
Really?
Because in Dominican Republic, you know how we go to Dunkin' Donuts and get coffee?
Mm-hmm.
You can get liquor that way legally and drive in your car. It's legal to drink and drive in Dominican Republic.
Wow.
So in the Northern Hemisphere, that is the most per capita deaths of any fucking country anywhere except for fucking Dominican Republic.
I can see why.
So you did excursions, right?
We did. We did an ATV.
When I'm in DR, I won't leave the fucking thing because the bus from the airport to the thing is fucking dangerous enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to take the bus back. Or I do cabs, actually. Mm-hmm. And then they rape you for fucking $40, which is like $1,000 over there.
It's insane. It was $90 to get to the airport.
No.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I went there during my second, what's that thing called when you get married?
Honeymoon?
Yes.
Yes.
And we had gotten married the day that Sandy had arrived.
Oh, fun.
So, no, we were great. We did a beautiful wedding. Mm-hmm. The party's jumping. And around 2 a.m., it got a little dodgy. And then by the next day, we couldn't get our plane because it had like... So we were like a day late on our jaw. It worked out, though. We got there.
It's all that matters.
New York lost fucking electricity for the better part of 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
Mm-mm.
Gotta get a generator. And then you can't get a generator. I don't know. I keep saying I get a generator. I never do, though.
You should.
Do you?
No. Ah! I have neighbors that have generators.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in the summer, it would be dreadful to live here without the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of I don't need a TV. I like TV. You know what I mean? But if I didn't have a TV for a month, I would just read a book. Like, you know, I'm not going to die.
No, I think it's more about your refrigerator and...
That's, I mean, here's the thing. All that's in there is water, so we're not going to lose much. And, like,
okay,
a thing of leftovers. Like, there's not a lot of I never keep a lot of food.
Got it.
Because I'm a single male that can't cook very well, boozdy-boozdy-bop. Can you cook well?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite cuisine to make?
I make... Well, it's not necessarily cuisine. I like making my mom's pepper steak.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So she's Asian, is she?
Not really. It's actually made with tomatoes in it, so it's not really like what you would think.
So what's
it pepper
like?
Steak? So it's the peppers and the steak and marinate it in like a ginger soy sauce kind of thing, and then tomatoes and rice. It's really good.
What kind of rice?
Well, I have to do the boil and the bag rice because I burn it if otherwise. So really, I'm not a good cook, I guess.
After the last divorce, the first girlfriend I had was a Puerto Rican, which was a weird move because the ex-wife was a Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
So I met this girl. She was really cool. Her grandmother, who's from Puerto Rico, made the greatest rice. Like, I miss that girl just because of her grandmother's rice. Like, I'm like, I should text her and try to see if she has any rice in her house.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. That's all I got.
Should at least get the recipe.
Did you see Bon Jovi in concert?
I did not.
You can't now.
I don't want to now.
No, he's got a stroke.
I know, really.
So wait, do you not want to because of his character or because of the stroke?
Both.
Aw, look at you having like dignity and such.
Yeah, go figure.
Johnny Zero, my dear friend, texted me 33 times while we were having this conversation.
Wow.
Did you see the number 33 on the text?
I do.
He's a thing.
That's pretty serious.
Oh yeah, he's on it. I don't even know what he's writing about. I was talking to him in the car when I pulled up. He's a classy guy. He loves him some Elvis. He just texts me right again.
What is so important?
I think he's talking about Elvis. I don't read the text. I tell him that too. Love him. He's fucking. He has a live band. They're called Nation Zero. And so promoters would have his information, like they have my information, and we're mutual friends. And this woman would be at her house, like doing her day job, and her phone would go. And then her friend, she's like, oh, no, I have to wait for it to stop. And then there's 36 Johnny Zero texts. Because she's like, hey, how you doing, Sen? I want to tell you something, Sen. So about that date, Sen. Yeah, I think we can get it. And it's like.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the way it works. It's like a thing. So it's like. And she's like, as soon as it stops buzzing, I'll read them. And that's texting with Johnny Zero.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. It is good times. What was your first concert? Your first one?
Milli Vanilli.
So that's not bad, though. Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
Like, they looked cool, right?
They did. It was a blast.
They sounded amazing. The band really was playing. Did you know that?
No.
It wasn't all just recordings.
Okay.
It was the great live band, and then these CDs playing the vocals. Uh-huh. It's Guy You Know. 50,000 people is on repeat. What do you want me to do? I love that part.
I think it was In Vogue or somebody that opened up
for
them.
I fucking loved In Vogue.
I think it was In Vogue.
Oh, they were so good. And then they fired the really pretty one.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing by that. And then they carried on to the three-piece. You're like, En Vogue? No. I loved En Vogue. I really did. Because that's when you're watching MTV as a young man and you're touching yourself and inappropriately. And you're like, En Vogue videos were nice.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good times. Love me some En Vogue. Why aren't they fucking back on tour? I bet you they're all fat now.
I think they weren't they? I swear they are.
Fat or on tour?
Both.
I'm going to look up En Vogue.
I do. I thought there was like a whole... Isn't that who... Who's it? New Kids on the Block touring with?
Why would I know the answer to this question?
I feel like you should.
I mean,
you went to Hanson after all.
But Hanson played instruments, unlike NKOTB. I fucking hate New Kids so much.
I mean, you got the whole lingo down.
Well, every girl that you wanted to date in 1989, 1990 was like, I love Donnie Wahlberg so much. And I mean, you look like Donnie, which offended the fuck out of me back then. Fuck that guy. No, they're not that fat. They had a lot of fucking face work. Whoa, one looks like a man now. They're not fat.
Okay.
The mixtape tour, 2020. Oh, my God. With New Kids on the Block.
See?
Salt and Pepper and Rick Astley. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna take you down. Oh, my God.
Is that all that he's singing?
That's what he gets up. You know, you wouldn't remember this. He had a bunch of hits.
Did he?
Yes.
All right, sing me more. I only remember that one.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I can't fucking rattle them off, but let's look the shit up. Hold on. Rick Ashley. Oh my God, it popped right up. Together Forever. Holy shit.
What does that even sound like?
All right, we gotta get through the commercial bullshit and then we're gonna do it. You're gonna know when you hear it because he has like the stupid fucking suit, not suit jacket. Not, what was it? The long jacket. you remember that video? You don't remember that video.
Okay, I know that one.
Together Forever. So that's two hits.
All right, so two. So he's got two songs on this tour.
They love that, let me tell you. We're no strangers to love. That's not it. Oh, that's the other one, isn't it? We're no strangers to love. He did like a fucking long hair comeback later.
Did he really?
Yeah, in the 90s. No one gave a fuck, but he tried.
He Who did gave try. A fuck in the beginning?
Those were hits, man. If you didn't see him, you thought he was a black guy.
True.
Yeah, look at you. Oh, fucking yeah. You don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen. This has been episode number 146 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Thank you for your time, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. The Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.